Praise the Lord. I'm Apostle Curtis Lewis, the senior pastor of Someone Cares Ministry, located here in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. I want to take these few minutes to invite you to get your Bible, get your notepad, and get a pen. Call a friend, call a neighbor, and let them know we're getting ready to study the Word of God. Today, we're going to continue a message, Applying Truth to the End with Poise. Amen. So get your Bible and go with me now into this broadcast, already in motion. And we'll come again at the end of the broadcast to give you more information. God bless you, and I pray you enjoy the Word of God.
Hallelujah. I'm still talking about applying truth to the inward parts. Hallelujah. Hebrews 4, verse 12 says, the Word of God is quick, powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of sunder of soul and spirit and joints and marrow. That's God's word describing the three major parts of a human being, which is soul, spirit, and body. The joints and marrow has to do with your body, because joints and marrow is in your body. So he's talking about spirit, soul, and body. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 16 and 1 Peter 3 verse 4 proves this out. You can read it in your spare time. That the outward man is your body. The inward man is your soul. The hidden man is your spirit. Spirit, soul, and body. I started out teaching Psalms 51. When David had an issue, and then God spoke through David by the Holy Ghost and said, you was shaping in iniquity. In other words, David did a horrible thing, but God looked through all the faults of David and saw David's true intention, saw David's true heart, and gave him the answer. And most of you here today, God looks through your all the way through your issues, your iniquity, and he see your true heart, and he reaches out to you. That's the love of God. That's what he did to David. And David said in Psalm 51 verse 5, and I'm still recapping, he said, I was in shaping an iniquity. In other words, I'm a sinner, God. There's something in me messing with me. So every time I try to do good, evil's always in my way. Then verse 6, he said, behold, thou desire truth in the inward parts. Now, the inward part, don't ever forget it. That's why I put stuff on the board, so you can have a visual revelation, because I am not up here making up stuff. And I don't mind somebody challenging me, because it's the truth. So he said, I desire truth in the inward parts. That inward parts has to do with your soul and all its components. Inward parts. He didn't say, I want truth in your hidden part, single of P-A-R-T. Because when you study the Bible, you'll find out that when you got born again, that God fixed that hidden man of the heart called your spirit. You'll find out that your spirit has been born of God and has the nature of God and is just like God. You'll find out that your spirit knows the mind of God. Your spirit knows the word of God. That's why your spirit can convict you when you do something wrong, because it knows the truth. So for a long time in the body of Christ, we have literally been trying to fix the spirit which has been fixed. And I'm spending a lot of time on the soul, because God say you're never going to fix people's problem until you bring the awareness of what they're trying to fix. The soul is the person. I done taught many, many times, and you may think this it's not necessary for me to repeat it, but it's very necessary, because I'm going up against decades of teaching in the body of Christ. And I know people hear me and think I'm off the rocker, but I don't mind being standing alone for a season, because I know God's standing with me. I don't mind preaching the truth by myself. And I don't believe I'm by myself. I believe somebody else preaching it too accurately. Just because I don't see them don't mean they're not preaching it. But I done taught many, many times, and most of y'all done heard this. Man is a spirit, and he have a soul. You don't find that in the Word of God. Sorry. God said man is a
soul.
So the soul is not something you have. Soul is who you are. It is the truth. And your spirit going to bear witness with this. But just in case there's some people out there that say, no, you got it twisted, preacher. Well, tell God that. Genesis 2:7, God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Man became a body. Now, he had a body, right? But God, in Genesis, in his wisdom, said, I'm going to take this spirit, soul, and body, but I'm going to call him a
soul.
Now, go argue with God. Go tell God you messed up God. He's the spirit you put in him. Go tell God that. And when you convince God, and then God come back and tell me, I'll change my message. Till then, I'm not changing it. Okay, Genesis 2:7, man is a soul. Acts 2:42, even after the people start getting born again, even when that soul became a new creature, God was still calling a new creature a soul. He said 3,000 souls was added unto them. Souls. You may say, well, you got your Greek and Hebrew mixed up. No, I don't. Read the context of the scripture. Because sometimes that word soul and spirit is interchangeable. And you got to watch the Greek and Hebrew. But there ain't no mistake right there. Read the context of the scripture. Read a few scriptures around it, and you'll find that even the translators, even though sometimes they might have got them mixed up, you can still know what God's saying. He meant souls. Revelation 20 and verse 4, after the great tribulations on the earth, and now the millennial reign of Jesus Christ, which means time has wrapped up, our dispensation of time. And now you're in a whole nother dispensation where Jesus Christ himself has come back to the earth and physically here on the earth ruling with his bride called those taken out of the church. John, Revelation 20 verse 4, God's still calling them in another age, souls. Applying truth to the inward parts. I have 3 points I want to make. The first point, last time I taught this, I showed you this square, and I told you I want to take the spirit out of it, the spirit and the body out of it for just a moment. Because you are spirit, soul, and body. And we've been taught a lot about the body. We've been taught a lot about the spirit. But if just for the sake of teaching, let's take them out the equation and let's just deal with the soul. Because we're being educated about the soul now. And incidentally, Jesus came to save souls. So if he saved your spirit and then made your body feel good but never get your soul, then was redemption complete? He wants your soul. Because the soul is the person. So let's say this is the soul, and I showed you all these components: mind, memory, will, feelings, senses, choices, the personality, intentions. All of that is the soul. And I dealt with 3 last week, but I'm going to only deal with 1 this week because I felt I needed to come back and spend more time on one of them, and that's the imagination. 3 points on the imagination. That's the one I'm going to deal with now. Now, the imagination is in the soul. The imagination can be good or evil. Can't be in the spirit because there ain't no evil in the spirit. I'll leave that alone, but I proved that in the study guide, and I can prove that later. Your imagination is located some kind of supernatural way in your soul. Okay, first point is this. Understanding the word image and the power of your imagination. Point 1. If you don't understand what God meant by image, you're going to be thrown off all through the Bible. And that's why people can't receive truth, especially this teaching that man is a soul and he have a spirit living in a body, because they have the word image mixed up. Let me give you a quick example. All right, Genesis, let me go through this quickly as I can. Genesis 1, look at verse 11. Everything starts in the beginning. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, herb, yielding seed, and the fruit trees yielding fruit, what?
Are y'all looking at your Bible, or you want me to just read mine?
After what? Kind, kin, related, same essence. Apple gonna produce apples. Why? Because they're the same kind. All right. Verse 12. And the earth brought forth grass and herb and yielding seed after its kind, and the yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind. Notice that word kind, kind, kind. And God saw that it was good. Verse 20. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly moving creatures. Now he's finna make some creatures. He's going to use the same principle, kind. Same principle. The principle of kinship and kind had not changed now. In a few minutes, it's going to change. You better change with it or you're going to miss the essence of what God is after. Okay, verse 20 says, and God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly moving creatures after his that has life, fowls that fly above the earth in the open firmament of the heaven. And God created great whales, every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly. What? After its kind. Principle still the same. Whales produce whales. Come on now. After its kind. Principle. Kind. I have children. They after my kind. Mean they got my blood, my nature. They are my kind. I have a picture of both of my daughters in my wallet. I get take the picture out and show it to you. That's just an image. All right. I'm going somewhere. And we'll soon be there, believe it or not. Let me jump down for the sake of time. Go down to verse 25. Genesis. 1 and verse 25. And God made the beasts of the earth after his kind, the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing, and everything that creepeth on the earth after his kind, and God saw that it was good. Now watch this. Watch verse 26. And God said, let us make man after our image and likeness. That's where the principle changed. He did not say, let's make man after our principle shifted, and we done taught for decades and didn't shift with the principle. In the beginning, God said, let's make him after our image and likeness. We got the definition in our mind that image and likeness mean kind. It does not. Let me fast forward just a minute and so I can get to point two. God was smart because he knew man was going to fall before he made him. He knew Satan was going to come in and make him sinful before he made him. God said, I'm going to pull one over on the devil. I want me some sons and daughters after my kind, but I'm going to trick this devil. I'm going to first make him after my image and likeness. Later on, when Jesus shed his blood and send the Holy Spirit, then they'll be born after my kind. So the devil touched the image. He didn't never touch the kind. Somebody got, I see a few of y'all got that. And that's why the doctrine in the body of Christ is off base, because we missed that principle when it shifted. Okay. Understanding, image, and the power of your imagination. Now most of you now got a small picture of what image means. I don't have time to deal with all of it now, but I'll come back later and go a little bit further with definitions and Bible verses and everything. But understand, image don't mean kind. Now, the power of your imagination. Turn to Genesis 6. Genesis 6 and verse 5 and 7. Look at this. You understood the word image a little bit. Now I need you to understand the power of your imagination. And God said, this is the world he made, the men he made, and all of a sudden Satan came in and brought sin into that image and likeness. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. The wickedness has gotten great. Now he's finna show you what caused the wickedness to get so great in the earth. All right? It was great in the earth. Now watch this. And somebody say and. And that the imagination of the thoughts of his heart, which was in his soul, because the spirit, even after the man sinned, was still trying to obey God. And it, because y'all remember when you, before you got saved, before you knew God, it was still something deep down in you telling you when you was wrong. It just didn't have the grace and the strength to influence you. But it was still doing its job. So the spirit wasn't doing the wrong job. It was still trying. Because God designed the spirit to do one thing, and that go after God. But the soul he designed to be the chooser. The soul had the right to choose God or the devil. And the imagination is in the soul. And what happened is those people should have realized, I'm sure the devil came way back there and tried to warp this thing. Your body, you're a ghost, you're like an animal, you come from monkeys. That teaching's still around. Your soul come from God. Until you understand how it functions, you'll never get your life right. So all of a sudden, devil got in there and began to mess with their imagination. And it says, the imagination of the thoughts of their heart was only evil continually. When a man go that far to where you ain't got no good imagination, none. Sometime, how many of y'all still have good imagination? I imagine being a blessing. I imagine blessing my kids. I imagine being smiling and having a kind face every day. How many of y'all can still imagine good? So we ain't got to the place where God ready to wipe us out yet. This world had gotten there. Because the Bible said not one imagination in their heart was good. It was evil continually. And so God said, I got to destroy this world and start over, because I only got 8 left. And if I don't give him grace, Satan going to get them too. He had to kill them all. Why? Because the imagination of their hearts. Your imagination is powerful. Point 2. Hallelujah. You have to decide to cast down every ungodly imagination and replace them with godly imagination. Let me say it like this. You have to cast down every image, every ungodly image, and replace them with godly images. Let me try to give you an example before I read this one scripture and go to my third point. I can sit here right now and get a thought about Sister Virginia. I'm just, picking somebody randomly. Or Judy. Or anybody. Y'all listen to me? I can take a thought. I can think something about you. And it may not be good. And I can think long enough, that thing will get in my heart. And it'll trigger certain feelings. And then I can take my imagination and extend that thought. Let's say it's dislike. I look at you and I just don't like you. And I just keep thinking, I just don't like them. I don't like the way they act. I don't like their ways. I don't like how they're dressed. I keep thinking, get in my heart, and my imagination can take that thought. The imagination in the soul is like an incubator. It took that thought and it's incubating that thought. And you keep saying, I don't like her. I don't like him. And for long, you hate them. You hate them. And then hate is a passion. And you keep hating long enough, and you keep imagining, you start imagining, what can I do to stop them? Y'all see what I'm saying? Y'all think I'm playing, but that's how your soul works. That's how people's souls will operate. You think they call that man his, talking about he was deranged, that went up there in Connecticut. Some kind of way he watching too many videos. That's how he got deranged. Some kind of way somebody pumping something in him. And you got all these images in your mind, and you got an image of going shooting everybody. That's how that stuff happened. Yeah, playing games and stuff. And some of these games right now just program this children's mind. What it's doing is it's messing with your imagination in your soul. And your soul, your imagination can become so wicked until you see the fruits of the wickedness of the imagination in your heart. 2 Corinthians, let me get a scripture to verify that. 2 Corinthians. Y'all see how important it is to teach about the soul? We've been over here floating around on the spirit, and spirit all saying, I got it going on, and you just need to move on and do your help your soul. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. Look at what the Bible say. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. I thank God for the intercessors in the house, because y'all do spiritual prayer warfare. That's awesome. There's another. Amen. Give God glory. Thank God for divine connection. Amen. Because I couldn't do what I'm doing without you guys. Divine connection, women's of virtue, conceiving and achieving. Y'all surrounded us at the right time. Because God know what he's doing. Because I got some devils to deal with. And one of the devils is the doctrine. But I need you to understand that there's another form of warfare, which is preaching the word. Because the sword of the spirit, which is the word, that's a form of warfare. And it says that the weapons that we have are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to pulling down strongholds. There's some strongholds that I got to stand and be courageous enough to preach about, and not worry about how somebody think about me. Come on now, I ain't thinking about, you know, all I'm thinking about is pleasing God. Hallelujah. And I was on a CD yesterday on the radio, and all y'all remember last Sunday, something hit me, and I just started talking about Steve Harvey. I wasn't talking about him. I was just making a comment about something that I think our leadership ought to watch out for. Because I love Steve Harvey, and I believe he could be a great tool in the body of Christ. But you got a whole network, and here I am saying it again. Maybe the Holy Ghost want me to say it again. You got a whole network, millions and millions of Christians, some of them babies, watching you put a comic up there who really do have a heart after God, but he's not quite all the way over yet. And so he bring another comic on the network, and he not quite all the way over, because I hear him cussing like sailors. I hear him misleading people. And you put them for the body of Christ and let them influence the body. Some of those baby Christians, because you endorsed them, going to follow him over here to this club. And they're going to take their first drink. They're going to commit their first act of adultery, and probably going to go back and backslide because some preacher didn't have enough discernment. Wait till he get grounded. Y'all see how important that is? Holy Ghost might want me to say that again. Okay. So he said, weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imagine. Y'all say it. Where's the imagination? In the soul realm. Because in the spirit realm, you cannot imagine evil. Spirit don't do that. It's not designed by God to do that. Your soul can. But you got to cast them down. What I imagine, if you know what we need to do before I get to my last point? You know what this message ought to do to us? It ought to make us think about what we're thinking about. Because it all starts with a thought. You got to think about what you're thinking about. Then you got to sit down and ask yourself, why do I hate that person? Why do I not like him? Why do I want to cheat on my husband or on my wife when I really don't want to? Imagination's driving you. And you got, the Bible said you got to cast them down. If you don't deal with those images and those imaginations through the word of God, you're not going to live Jesus Christ. I'm sorry. You're just not. Your desires will not change until you start dealing with your images. Start doing this. Read something in the Bible. Let the weak say I'm strong. The word just said that. Think about that. I might be weak in this area, but the word said let the weak say I'm strong. I'm strong against smoking. I'm strong against sinning. Start saying that. And start believing that. And start thinking that. And let that get in your imagination. Now when that get in your imagination, then you got something. I'm telling y'all something I done lived. I done lived this life. I'm telling y'all something. I had to learn a lot of things through my ignorance. I had to make so many mistakes. I probably made more mistakes than all of y'all. But God let me do it to teach me to teach you. Last point. Point three. If you don't change your image and your imagination to God, you will be good for nothing. Wow. Let me say that again. You say, well, you know, that sounds kind of interesting, but I don't think it take all that, preacher. If you don't start trying to change your image and your imagination to God, you will be good for nothing. Turn to Jeremiah. Okay, Jeremiah chapter 13, verse 8. Then the word of the Lord came unto me saying, somebody said the word of the Lord. So this is not the word of Apostle Lewis or Pastor Lewis. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, praise the Lord. We're going to have to cut into the broadcast. Our time is just about up. Amen. I want you to know that you can have a free copy of this teaching on today. All you got to do is call us at 225-802-5613. That's 225-802-5613. Call us up and we'll give you a free copy of the teaching today. And we also have a study guide entitled God Complete Plan of Salvation for the Spirit, Soul, and Body. And we mainly deal with the soul in this study guide. If you call us up, we'll get you a copy of it. Amen. Again, that number is 225-802-5613. Before we end today, I want you to read Isaiah 28, verse 9 and verse 10. Here's what the Bible said. Whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. Whenever we have a doctrine or a word that we call an accurate doctrine, it should be able to be proven by Scripture throughout the Word of God, line upon line, precept upon precept. So we have a study guide that I would like to give to you that will take you further into the study of the Word of God to distinguish spirit, soul, and body, and to show you how the Word of God addresses each area. Yes, we are one person, but the major makeup of mankind is spirit, soul, and body. God took the three, put them together, made them one, and he decided to call that person a soul. And so if you want further study along the lines of this teaching, give us a call at 225-802-5613. This is Apostle Curtis Lewis. We're located here in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. So if you want to visit us, we have service every Sunday at 11 a.m. Every Thursday, 7:15 p.m., we have Bible study. Again, give us a call if you need a copy of this tape, amen, and the book, 225-802-5613. Remember, this is Apostle Curtis Lewis saying we love you, we thank God for you, and remember, someone cares for you, and his name is Jesus.
His name is Jesus. Someone cares for you. Someone cares for you. Someone cares for you.